Our gospel today is from the fourth chapter of Matthew, beginning with verse 1. Glory to you, O Lord. Please be seated. Last week in the gospel reading, had the story of Jesus' baptism, how a voice came from heaven and said, "You are my beloved Son." Our reading today continues after that. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. Then the tempter came and said, "If you are the Son of God, then command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus said, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took Jesus to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple and said, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, because it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will raise you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." But Jesus said, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Then the devil took Jesus up to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, "I will give you all of these if you will bow down and worship me." But Jesus said, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. Now, when Jesus heard that John the Baptist had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee, and he left Nazareth and went to Capernaum by the sea and made his home there. Capernaum is in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. And this is so that what was spoken by Isaiah might be fulfilled. "Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned." From that time on, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he was walking the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is also called Peter, brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." And immediately they dropped their nets and followed Jesus. As he went on, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. And they were in their boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me." And they left their boat and their father Zebedee and followed. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and healing all who were sick, and through also proclaiming the kingdom of God. So his fame spread throughout all of Syria, and they brought to him everyone who was sick. This included people who had various diseases and pains, also demoniacs and epileptics, and paralytics, and he cured them all. And his fame spread, and great crowds followed him from Galilee, from the Decapolis, from Jerusalem and all of Judea, and across the Jordan. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. This time, would like to invite the children to head out for Word for Children. The story is Officer Buckland Gloria.
Oh, I know that one.
It's by Georgina, and I think Natalie's going to help her today. What's in it for me? What's in it for me? I think in many ways we live in a what's in it for me world. And I must confess, I'm not immune. It seems like my whole life there's some immediately I'm thinking, what's in it for me? And even when I do some things that on the outside look really good, very often there's a deeper conversation, if I'm honest with myself, that is along the lines of what's in it for me. And sometimes what's in it for me is looking good or impressing people. And if I'm really honest, there's a part of me right now that wants to impress you and have you like me, impress you with my sermon and have you like me. I mean, in a very fundamental level, it's like there's a part of me that's up here preaching because I get something out of it. What's in it for me? I mean, we live in a society where, gosh, if you think about all the commercials and the marketing, it's just like they just play on that. You know, what's in it for me? You deserve better. You deserve this. You deserve to have people look at you and say, ooh, you look good. You deserve to buy the best car. You deserve to live in the biggest house. You deserve, and it plays on that. What's in it for me? Not to mention, when they offer it, it's like, you deserve to have a lot of money. Oh, what's in it for me? Money's in it for you. Ah, we like that. I mean, we do. I kind of have some money. I'm very glad I'm not destitute. And so if from that what's in it for me conversation, this story about the disciples makes no sense. It makes no sense. Peter and Andrew and James and John are sitting there doing their occupation, making money. And if, well, either they were in some other conversation of what's in it for me, or there's something that they saw as far as what was in it for them that I'm not aware of. Because if you think about what does it take for you to just leave your livelihood, in some sense, kind of leave your relationships, put at risk all that you've been training maybe your life to do, put at risk all the life that you have to get up and walk away. Why would they do that? I think part of the answer is the broader context that we have about this story. And it begins, I mean, we're in the Gospel of Matthew toward the beginning. We've heard the infancy narratives and all that kind of stuff. And then there's Jesus getting baptized. Wonderful show. He gets in the water. Jesus baptizes. Open. There's a voice from God saying, "You are my beloved son." And immediately it says he was driven out in the wilderness, began fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And then the devil shows up. And in some sense, it's sort of like, well, I mean, what the devil says is, if you are the Son of God, it's sort of like saying, you know you're the Son of God. Let's take this out for a test drive. You know, just with a word, turn those stones into bread. You have the power. You're the Son of God. Just do it. I know you're hungry. It's been 40 days. It's just a few stones. Turn them into bread. Or here, let's take you up to the point in Jerusalem. The pinnacle of the temple is really high. Let's take your newfound power out for a test drive. In essence, show that you can fly on the power of angels. Just toss yourself up because you know you're the Son of God. Show off. Let's use that power. What good is power if you don't use it? Then the final one, devil saying, you can have everything you want. Everything there is in the world. All you got to do, just bow down and worship me. In a very real sense, Jesus' answer to, if you are the Son of God, is, because I am the Son of God, I cannot do what you want me to do. If you are the Son of God, do this. No, because I am the Son of God, I cannot be in the what's in it for me conversation. I cannot be. Conversation I must be, if I am God's Son, is what is God's will? What does God want? And the last statement he quotes, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Jesus had to discover and claim for himself that he was God's Son, and that as he went about being God's Son, he was truly going to be God's Son and not betray it and worship the devil, which in essence would have made him the son of the devil. And for our sake, Jesus was not in the what's in it for me conversation. And once he was clear on that, then he really was empowered. He was able to be. He was able to fulfill his destiny, his identity as the Son of God. And he went about proclaiming everywhere, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Jesus, as the Son of God, was initiating, proclaiming, bringing present, inviting people to join into a different kind of kingdom, a kingdom of heaven, a kingdom that was ruled by the laws of God, which are about love and grace. From 1 John chapter 4, we know that the essence of God is love, a desire for others' well-being, a desire looking out so that others may have life. This was the kingdom of heaven that Jesus knew and was proclaiming and creating by his preaching, and not just by his preaching and teaching, but by his act. He was offering people an alternative. Instead of living in this what's in it for me world, the what's in it for me kingdom, I invite you to follow me and live in the kingdom of heaven that's about what's in it for all of us. What's in it for the world? And to their credit, imagine Peter and Andrew sitting there fishing, James and John mending their nets. It says that the people in Zebulun and Naphtali were sitting in darkness. They were very much in that world of what's in it for me and suffering from it, because the what's in it for me world is a world of death. When you have a kingdom that says that a king that can decide whether you live or die, then you have to obey what the king says. Because even in the what's in it for me world, what's in it for you is continued physical life. And so you do what the king says. And the Roman Empire, they wanted to call it Pax Romana, but boy, it was Pax Romana through the fear of the sword. And the people there in Zebulun and Naphtali and all of Israel and throughout the Roman Empire knew of that power, knew that if they wanted to keep on living, they had to keep doing what they said. They had to live in that fear of people who are in power taking their lives. And into that darkness, Jesus said, come and follow me. And somehow, they recognized that who Jesus was a light coming into their darkness, that he represented something different than the reality they were living in. And they repented. I mean, repent means to change the way you're thinking. And in that moment, somehow, they chose to let go of the world that they knew, the kingdom that they were a part of, and choose to become citizens in the kingdom that God, that Jesus was inviting them to, the kingdom of heaven. This is the same choice we have over and over and over. To follow the king, to follow the prince, to follow the one who is the head and ruler of the kingdom of heaven. We're called to be citizens of that kingdom and to live it and participate in it and do what God is calling us to do so that the world may be healed. It tells us in the gospel that Jesus went around teaching and preaching and healing every sickness. Demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, anybody that had, he was curing diseases. In a very real sense, he was bringing healing to the world. And James and John and Peter and Andrew chose to follow him and be part of that healing power let loose in the world. And so also, we as children of God have the opportunity to do that. We have the opportunity to be set free from this what's in it for me world. Because we are children of God, can. I mean, there's also, well, if we're children of God, love and forgiveness can kind of happen because we know the God of love. But oh my gosh, to miss out on the opportunity of being part of what God is up to in the world. Because we are children of God, we get to participate in crossing boundaries out to people who don't know about a God of love. All they know is a life filled with fear and death and hopelessness. Because we are children of God, we can risk reaching out to our neighbors, both near and far, no matter what color their skin might be, no matter what their sexual orientation, no matter what country they live in, we as children of God, because we are children of God, can live out that love and be inclusive and inviting and loving and serving. Because we are children of God, we can risk our resources for the sake of the gospel. We can risk our resources so that people who don't have may have enough. Because we are children of God, we can go around and proclaim this good news. Everywhere we go, in schools, and where we work, where we shop, we can model and live out a different kind of life. Because we are children of God, we do not have to be citizens of the what's in it for me world. But we can be citizens of the kingdom of heaven, where love and grace and hope and forgiveness and joy and healing abound. Jesus preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Let us find ways to let go of the world, of the ways that we're tempted, and choose to be part of the life-giving life that Jesus invites us to be children, to be citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and to be really live in to our calling and identity as children of God.